in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? RuPaul's Drag Race, may the best drag queen win. Best drag queen win. And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Dave,
yeah,
man. I mean, homophilia just got a whole lot sexier because we have a guest here who, gosh, I almost said needs no introduction, but I know people hate when we say that. So we will introduce her, but she is a television writer and producer. She co-created Supergirl. She co-created The New Normal. She's written and produced on shows like Glee and Chuck, so many more. She's frankly gay Hollywood royalty. She's also, as we will discover, possibly responsible for my marriage. Allie Adler, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you. I like that last credit. And as far as gay Hollywood royalty, I am the spare of gay Hollywood royalty, because I'm sure there's people above me in this.
Who's the Prince William?
I assume that's like Ryan Murphy, Greg Berlanti. Who else above me, gay Hollywood royalty? Lena Waithe.
I've never heard of any of these people.
I'm glad that's your answer. And the greatest thing that I've done so far in my career is be responsible for your marriage. Me and Grindr.
Those two things, exactly. Because Michael was only in Los Angeles temporarily when we met, and we were dating, but it was still early, and Allie hired him on his first big job in LA that kept him here, brought him back here, I should say, and that was on Supergirl.
It was my honor to do so. He is an incredibly talented writer.
He is your biggest fan and sends his love.
Well, we are Canadian comrades, he and I. So we're both born in Montreal.
That's right. I didn't know that. I only knew that with just doing my journalistic research here. But how old were you when you came to the States?
I like that you say the States. That proves to me that you hang out with a true Canuck. I left Canada when I was 8, but I hold dual citizenship as we do.
Very smart.
Yeah,
sure. Very smart. And again, that's why do you think I married him?
It's the way to go. I'm
playing
yeah.
the long game.
Yeah.
You know, Allie, because you brought it up, I have to ask, have you read Spare?
You know what? I am having it read to me by a young royal named Prince Harry. And when I go about chores in my home, or when I'm driving my children all about this crowded city, I listen to it. And it's much better in the native tongue. So I like to read in general, pages turning in the bath, etc. But this is, I think, uniquely read to you by the young royal himself.
How is he as a narrator?
He's kind of fantastic. I mean, there's much to be hated about royalty, colonialism, etc. And I won't just say that casually, but he is very well spoken, and I'm sure he had much help, but it's a tale. It's really like it's the ultimate rich people problems, you know. And sure. He's got a few. It's really, you know, he's a product of his environment, and he didn't have a lot of hugs growing up, and I feel badly for him and his mom and all that. And so I empathize with what, you know, he really brought in a very nice woman to kind of expand minds, and they just weren't having it. They were not having it over there.
Does he do character voices? Does he do like a big, broad Monty Python voice?
Wouldn't that be nice if he had? Wouldn't that be great? No, he really, it's not, it's very limited range, but he reads it beautifully. It's like he's narrating, you know, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" or something. Oh. It's just very, it's like a lullaby.
You've done the impossible and sold me on Spare.
Yeah. A chilling anecdote that was, I don't know, going around Twitter about like a, I don't know, his, sort of genital irritation. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything for you really, because there's, you know, there's only so many highlights, but yes, he has some frostbite and he gets frostbite on his, I think he calls it his todger, which there's a lot of funny synonyms for the penis. And I don't think that's the funniest, but he has a frostbitten todger at his brother's wedding and talks about that. Mm. I haven't even gotten to the Megan part yet.
Wow.
Right now he's just still bemoaning mom.
Oh boy.
You know, this is a question I've had for Matt for a long time. And Allie, you may have had a similar question. I just want to get it out of the way while we're on the subject of books. Did you read the Matthew Perry memoir, Matt McConkie?
He's asking me that because of my Jennifer Aniston obsession, Allie. I didn't read it, but I do feel like it has been covered so extensively that I kind of got the gist of it. And yeah. I mean, God, I'm rooting for him, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Did you, Allie?
Yeah. I didn't, because I just assume it's a deep, deep dive. I've heard, you know, lovely things about it memoir wise and the writing of it wise. I just assume it's a deep, deep dive into, you know, how many ways his kidneys and guts could explode from his many, many bottoms of drug addiction and alcoholism. But I'm glad he's survived and he's amazing comedian and good for him. God bless. Yeah.
Aside from listening to Spare, what else are you consuming pop culture? What are you
binging? I'm eating it up. I just love it. I can't get enough. Don't you have a list on your notes thing in your phone that just is like, gotta watch this mm-hmm. and this? Mm-hmm. Don't you? I can't stop eating it up. I mean, and I'm a true like a dirty eater too. I'm like very unkosher.
Let's get into it.
Very unkosher in my eating. I mean, I'm all the way into the below decks. You know, I'm a Bravo person. I winter house. I summer house. I mean, I'm just being really forthcoming. I'm coming out. I Vanderpump. I apologize. I know. I'm
you don't have to apologize to me.
Depths of it. I went to actual Vanderpump once, and
you mean Peter, to pump,
but also to actually to sir, which to is sir.
Yeah.
Which is it stands for sexy. It's an acronym.
Sexy unique restaurant.
Which. Yeah. You have to be at the bottom of a bottle to think that is the name of your restaurant.
Yeah. It's also none of those things.
Right. It's just
not sexy or any, it's barely a restaurant.
It's very odd. Yeah.
What does it feel like? First of all, I'm directly under a flight path and my dog is apparently being mauled in the next room. So I apologize for all the noise. I don't know if you can hear it through the microphone.
You sound great, man. Don't apologize.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I won't. What does it feel like on the inside? I've never been in.
It feels like a very disjointed layout of like rooms that don't make sense at all, kind of sewn together with Matt, jump in here. It's like they don't make any sense architecturally, and yet they're like sewn together, and it feels like there's little bugs everywhere, even though there may not be. And I apologize, it's a booming business. I don't think we have to worry about their business here,
but I agree. All of her establishments do have a reputation for feeling a little unclean. Mm-hmm. And I've only been to Sir once, and I was sitting at a very, very small stool where it felt like I was like a like a child's like tea time sort of setting. And the vibe is, it's like as if you are on set for like some sort of low budget shoot, and you're in like the holding area. Like you're not in the real, just, you know what I mean? You're sort of in the backstage, but you, there's just no there.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like a cooler of Snapples.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the most amazing thing was I looked up and Peter, remember Peter? I don't know whether you watch it, but Peter was actually working. Like he was a worker there. And it's not like Jax is working, you know.
No. Well, Jax is barely with us anymore. I don't know.
By the way, I just declined a call from Max Muchnick, who is, you know, a very famous gay icon, because I'm on the show.
We love him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. It's for you guys.
Wow. That's an honor.
That is devotion. Yeah. I'm just going to bring this up. I'm here to tell you, Jax is with us. He's like around the corner from me. I am all those identical white houses
that
they all bought
Valley Village.
Those are within a block of me. So he walks the kid around and he does Instagram lives. We have never actually met, but he is now, there.
This is something that came to me after this was, it occurs to me that he is probably a Republican.
Yeah, that would not surprise me.
Yeah.
That just all of a sudden it dawned on me. Mm-hmm. His love of hockey, his habitual adultery, his love of
Jesus. Was probably covering it up before, you know, to maintain, you know, some sort of like relationship with the Bravo audience. But now that he's been given the boot, he's probably leaned in.
Right.
He might be on Fox News very soon.
Yeah. It's gas guzzling cars in the driveway. I will tell you that. I can reveal. It's a lot of four wheelers and whatnot.
It's Corvettes. It's American made. I mean,
sure.
I drive a Jeep. I'm just saying that's a lot. Mine's a hybrid. But.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Allie, you are, I think, just objectively a very cool person.
Go on. And, I'd like to hear more about this.
I would love to know how cool, I'm not even if you were cool in high school, how cool you were in high school.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I grew up in San Diego, California, which is not known for its coolness. Right. So I think because this city itself was so not cool, I was not looked at as incredibly cool. I was an outlier. So the cool ones there were like the blonde-haired surfer girls and the jocks, right?
And Jax. Jax might as well be from
Jax is a baseball player at my high school. You know, like I actually went to high school with Eric Karras, the baseball player for the Dodgers. Very built, oak tree like man, and that kind of person was prized, a blonde cheerleader type prized. I was in drama theater, as you might guess, and very in the closet, and not very, no, I mean, of the outliers, I was like queen of the outliers. I was cool. I was the president of the uncool.
And nothing's cooler than that.
Yeah. Where did end up?
When did I come out as cool?
No, where did the cool end up?
Oh, well, I went to camp and like I was cool at camp.
Okay.
So I knew I had cool within me because it came out at camp. And then when I went to UCLA, it started to dawn on me that I was cool. And I talk about this a little bit on, I did a podcast with the girls from the L Word, and I talked about this, but I will date myself further by talking about it here, that I was the president of the founding chapter of Lambda Delta Lambda, our nation's first lesbian sorority at UCLA. And we went on the Phil Donahue show. And I know, I apologize. And I was promptly disinherited by my grandmother.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good time.
She see the show?
Yeah. Yeah. She was just like, no, that's not happening. So that's done. Yeah, she was not into it at all.
Was that the end of your relationship? There was not
to her credit, she was an incredible badass. She was very she was a woman of her word, and she made it through the Holocaust, and she was like, came out the other side and lived, and then like was like, no thank you to this lesbian granddaughter of hers. I think that, and I was like, wait, you know, gay people were right next to the Jews. And she just was very obstinate. And I wrote this, when I was on Glee, I wrote this, the relationship of Santana and her abuela, based on my own Oma and my relationship. And Santana's abuela never accepted her, based on my own a life story, just never healed it.
I'm sorry, she missed out.
You know what, it's life. And I think it was interesting to sort of show people that sometimes it doesn't get resolved in 42 and a half minutes.
I want to know about your early days in LA. I mean, starting with was your first job on Beverly Hills 90210?
You've done some amazing research. You know what, it kind of that's the cool answer. There's a more shocking answer. And my first job that got me my Writers Guild card was a show on the Playboy Channel. And I'll only bring it up because so many cool people came out of it. It's called Inside Out. And it was produced by Alan Poole, who is a big producer still. And he culled so many cool people to do this show that was like these kind of 15-minute segment shows. And the guy that the guy that directed my episode on this show is a little guy named Alexander Payne. Wow. And I also was talking to my friend Richard Shepard, who directs for, you know, Girls, and he just did that Chippendale show. He's married to my friend Jenny Connor. And he also, one of his first jobs was that job. I mean, I bet you could find a million other cool people from Inside Out that just like blew up ultimately and stayed in the business. So it's kind of a sad and funny little credit.
What was Inside Out?
It was a show that was on the Playboy Channel when it wanted to do a little bit more than just like softcore porn. So it had like a narrative. It wasn't just like a dirty little show. It was when Playboy had a narrative content show, and there were like 15-minute, you know, narrative segments about, you know, mine I think was about what a woman was thinking, but she couldn't say aloud to her date, and it was, you know, what she was thinking versus what she was doing, and it was just like funny. But and I think then Mr. Hefner was like, okay, but turn up. Like the notes gradually became more like turn up the sexual content until like we didn't have a show anymore, but it was fun. So thank you to Alan Poole. I got my Writer's Guild card.
And then 90210.
Yeah.
What era are we?
I was in the second season. It was a really big deal. It was like I wrote Euphoria, the episode where Brandon takes,
for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Almighty.
Thank you. It's iconic.
The way that I have chills right now. That's huge.
Thank you.
That's indelible.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any sort of go-to like standard dinner party anecdotes about your time at 90210 that you lean on?
Well, I do. I guess I shouldn't say them though.
They're for off the air.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like probably I shouldn't say that.
Okay. We'll circle back after we stop recording.
I can say one of them is that I was kind of in the closet, and Darren Star was kind of in the closet. I mean, we weren't like not saying it, but we weren't saying it. Just, it was different back then. It was just, you know, a time where you didn't really share these things. And we were going to his house to watch like the second season premiere. And he, I just remember he had enough champagne glasses for everybody. And I thought, this guy's gay. That's one anecdote I can share. Yeah. The other one is that I French kissed Jason Priestley and it was great. So, I mean, I guess I wasn't super, super gay, but.
Wow. He transcends.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I'm gay. I'm straight for Stamos too. And I'll say that now. Yeah.
I respect that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you were closet or partially closet back then. Yeah. It was a different time. You must have had, I mean, so many experiences where you were either the only woman in the room or one of few, the only queer person in the room or one of few. How were you navigating that?
I mean, sometimes badly and sometimes great. Like I think over the course of, you know, many years, it was a different time. I was very often the only female, and very often there was no representation in the room. I mean, it just was a really different time. We would go to like Vegas after we'd like wrap, you know, an episode, you know, a pivotal episode, and the guys would want to go to a strip club to like watch and see the lesbian get a lap dance or something. It just was like, it was a different time. Weird. So I was always like, what is grosser than a lap than a strip club? There's just nothing less sexy.
So sad.
It's like, I would want to like give these women money for their children because I'm the one that can see the cesarean section scar, and these women, the guys with me are like pretending they don't see it. That's basically the denial of seeing the scars as being a man.
And so was there a turning point when you were a little more outspoken about being out, like professionally, or it was just like, go to watch Donahue if you want to know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a time when the internet didn't exist enough for anyone to see Donahue. So it was like, I didn't have a career during that time. So I did Donahue, then didn't really have a career. And then when I got a career, no one could see Donahue. So then I got really quiet again. Then I was quiet for a while. And then I was sort of like, fuck it. And I would just tell, can I say fuck it?
Fuck yeah.
I mean, I was out about, when I started doing comedy, I was more out about it. And then that became a virtue because in some ways the men that were hiring were like, well, she's a woman, but she doesn't really count as a woman because she likes, it's like a non-threatening woman because she also likes women.
Right.
So that's just one of the guys, you know, so that's okay. But you know, and then eventually, it's just beautiful now. It's like many more people are represented. Now things are much more, I won't even say diverse, but they just look more like the world looks.
Is it true that one of the characters from The L Word is based on you?
Who told you that? It's very funny.
The internet told me that, but I'm forgetting where I read.
My dear friend Leisha Haley plays a character named Alice Piazecki, who is based on me. And she always says, whenever she has a line, she says, how would Ali say this? So sometimes I get calls like, how would you say this? And sometimes she even calls me for a line. So that's quite an honor. She's a wonderful and amazing actress and friend.
So the portrayal is based on you or the character itself, like in the
script? Well, I think it's a bisexual character, and I'm, you know, on every scale of sexuality, I'm sure I'm somewhat bisexual, but less so than Alice Piazecki. I think it's sort of the line delivery, just like how, like she's especially as Alice in Generation Q has gotten more successful. She's just kind of a ball buster and impatient. And I think Leisha plays it in that direction, the way that I'm sort of bossy and impatient, and this is what we're going to do. And so I would like to think that that's somewhat based on how I would do it. You have to have her on and ask her. I'll do it with her. We'll do it together.
And Alice off. Perfect.
She, because in Generation Q, she has a talk show, right? Is there Alice, alternate universe where there's a talk show called Allie?
I'd love to. I mean, that would be amazing. That would be a dream.
You would do it.
Oh, I'd love to do it. I'd love to. I'm very interested in people and amusing extemporaneously.
You heard it here, listeners.
Anyone interested?
In a world full of straight people, aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Dave, I want to tell you that when I was in college, did Ken Oberth's show in his basement. I was on remote control. There, I said it. I was on remote control.
We're not!
I also briefly dated Ken Oberth. But okay. Now I'm becoming too bi for this show. I apologize.
No, this is your exactly it's a safe in the right space. Lane. You're exactly in the right lane, Ellie.
Right.
Tell me everything.
I took the test. Remote control, for anyone who does not know what this show is. It was a show based on MTV, which is Dave's world.
Yes.
Based in this gentleman who's very funny and now not with us anymore, but Ken Ober's basement is a guy who's like this like game show inside his parents' fictional basement. And so it was about television trivia and music trivia and knowledge. And he would go around to different colleges all over the country, and you'd have to take a test on your television and music trivia. And he gave this television trivia test at UCLA, and I got a 100%, and it was unheard of. Dave, just, you can't see his physical reaction. He just made sort of an orgasm face.
Yeah, no, they know. They
yeah.
Know.
So, so I got a 100%, and he nicknamed me Tube at UCLA. Uh-huh. And then when I was asked to New York, I went on the show as Tube. But what was really funny was that I was taken to New York to be on the show on remote control. I came in second because fucking Nipsey Russell kept interrupting me with his stupid anecdotes. God rest Nipsey Russell. But then 2 weeks later, I went on Donahue. So I was like going back and forth for the sorority. And like, annoyingly, I was on Donahue as, you know, Allison Adler.
Yeah.
So, you know, the joke is like for my grandmother. You couldn't have done Donahue as Tube.
What was on the test? Like, talk me. Remember any sample questions?
Name. You know what was? I'm just making this up, but like, what was Laverne's last name?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
DeFazio. You know, no one in this audience is. You say obviously, but no one in this audience knows this.
Oh, you'd be surprised. What's shocking about remote control, looking back, is that it came out at a time when that kind of knowledge was not prized in our culture at all. It was a little weird to know that kind of thing.
Oh, it was very strange. And I mean, name all the eight is enough kids.
Sure. Oh, right. Boy.
Yeah. You can't do it. And no one, by the way, knows that show at all. It's such a weird sweet spot because it's such a corny show.
Yeah. God rest Adam Rich.
Adam Rich, Jesus.
Did your mind go right to Might Magazine as well?
No, my mind went to Abby Bradford. You know, Betty Buckley follows me on Instagram and Twitter, and I love her so much. She's such an angel. And I think when I was a kid, she raised me because my own parents were so insane. I mean, my mom won't hear about this. Because she's so out of it, but but Abby Bradford raised me, and so I had to text her immediately. She's such an angel.
What was your home life like? What,
well, you know, basically the television raised me. My dad was working. He has passed away a couple of years ago from COVID. Thanks a lot. But my mom was off, you know, busying herself with whatever she was doing. Not, you know, I was like a latchkey kid. So the television was my babysitter. And so that was really helpful. And at some point, I got a couple lousy grades and my dad took away my TV and said, no more. And so I had to figure out how to have TV because it was such an important heroine in my life. And heroine, I-O-N, not I-O-N-E. And so I got... like this radio that had TV stations at the very end of it. And so I snuck it in my bedroom like a little secret whore. And I listened to her like quietly under my pillow, and listening to the audio of it was like, taught me, I think, dialogue for TV writing. This idea of like, you know, well, I'll use Little House on the Prairie as an example, just because nice I stuff. Loved it so much. But it was like, you know, and the shoes walk against the wooden floor, and then the line of dialogue, and then Pa plays the fiddle, and then the, you know, the music cue, and then you know, it just really taught me sort of there's more than the dialogue in the scene. So anyway, that's get C's in math, guys, and you'll get your TV taken away, and
yeah,
you have to figure it out.
And then you'll become a TV writer before you know it.
Well, that's the blessing of the skinny knee, right?
Of course. So 8 is enough. Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I'm old, is what I'm saying.
No,
guys.
No, no. This is, oh my God. yeah, this was the age of the sprawling, you know, TV family. Family, right. For
family.
Example.
Oh well, yeah. There's a great lesbian for you.
Mean.
Christy McNichol, the first lesbian. I mean, who in Little Darlings do you have sex with? I mean, Matt, I was going to say Matt Damon, but that's not right.
Matt Dillon
or Christy McNichol. It's tough.
It is tough.
It's a very thin line.
Yeah, God.
I mean, the entire cast of The Outsiders, just look at that cast. Line them up talent-wise, and if you look at their entire movie-making budget, like Tom Cruise at the top of that,
mm-hmm. with those teeth.
Mm-hmm. But like, you look in there, Rob Lowe's in there too. He's still kicking. How many years later?
Yeah,
50 years into this career.
Yeah. C. Thomas Howell would have a moment.
We still have a Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going. You can still, there's still other people
else,
there.
Oh yeah. Patrick Swayze was in that, wasn't he?
Yes, indeed. It's like a multi-billion dollar casting director.
Yeah. It's a Fast Times at Ridgemont High kind of a moment. Everybody exploded.
Everybody's special. Yeah, we're forgetting someone big.
Yeah.
We are.
No, what I'd forgotten until very recently is that history's first lesbian, Christy McNichol, was in the pirate movie. The film adaptation of The Pirates of Penzance, her and Christopher Atkins.
Oh, that's a terrible couple.
Yeah, it really is. It's really out of print bad. For some reason. Yeah.
Well, for that very reason, they took it. Wait, I have a bug here.
Please.
Now, are you guys watching The Morning Show?
I am in the first season.
I've skipped around a bit.
Are you okay? So, do you know what happens in this season at all?
I do.
Do you know about this lesbian? I don't want to spoil this for you, this lesbian spoiler. Yeah, and lesbian, by the way, is in very loose letters.
Uh-huh. I screamed. I've never been more shocked.
It's like I want to pick it a little bit. Like when you cast, where are we on casting gay people as gay people? Like, how do we feel about this? Do we need to cast gay people as gay people anymore? Where are we on this? Where's our adamants?
I lean toward yes, only until there's like a slightly more balance. You know, I mean, I suppose, go ahead. Well, we're in a, you know, Andrew Scott is the sexy priest and, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is Barney and whatever. There are a few major examples, but it still basically doesn't go the other way, you know, for men anyway.
Right. But like, I think you need to cast trans people as trans people, but oh, I think, absolutely. Right. Because that's important there.
Yeah.
But gay people as gay people, I don't know. But then I look at like the sexual chemistry of Reese Witherspoon and Juliana Margulies.
This is just an egregious example. They are just, and I love them both, but they're brilliant actors. Couldn't feel straighter.
Right.
They could brilliant not represent heterosexuality any more purely than they do.
And Emmys, then, Oscars all around. I brilliant. Give them out. Great. But like, do you feel any like
none.
Kiss chemistry?
No,
none at all. It was the shock of shocks and not in the way it was intended to be.
Right. Like if you are casting that, and all due respect to the casting person, I don't know who it is, but don't you want to kind of forgive this way of speaking, but like lube up Reese with someone like, I want to cast like Brittany Griner. I'm not there, really, yeah. but like someone. But
we're closer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on. Like, who is the person?
Ruby Rose?
Yeah. Okay. But she's a little brittle. She's a little frail. Okay.
Che Diaz.
You're casting now a character.
Gosh, we're playing name a woman. We're playing name a lesbian, and I
name a lesbian.
Nobody.
Yeah. I just like Alice Piazecki comes in. Also, we're just now just there you cast go. A character.
Yeah,
Ali Adler. I mean, okay. I don't know.
I'm down. I'll do it just as a public service.
Would a Kelly McGillis be in the conversation? No.
No, but no. Like the old fashioned. You know what? Top Gun's like quotation marks straight.
Yes.
Like Kelly McGillis, flight instructor. I'd love that. Yeah.
Peak but, McGillis and Reese yeah. is
oh, I'm, that's I'm heaven. We've them done it. Yes.
We did it.
Incredible.
We did it.
Incredible.
The other time I feel like it's important to cast gay people in gay roles is when is if it like behind the candelabra or beyond the candelabra or whatever that thing was about Liberace.
Uh-huh.
Where the whole thing is about the artifice and the uh-huh. closet and it's like you're also doing some like pretty big gay stereotypes. Like Michael Douglas was fine, but I feel like it, you know, what could a Victor Garber have done with?
Oh, wow. That's great casting. Know? Good. Let's play this game. Recast, okay. Recast.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is fun.
All right.
Come on. Go ahead.
Wait for that.
No, I mean, that. Like you just nailed it. Okay. Victor Garber. Bam.
Victor Garber. Then the Matt Damon. Who do we? Who's the like a Charlie Carver perhaps?
I like fantastic. That. We love him.
I should be a casting director.
I mean,
you really should.
You should. There are some that I don't need to read. There are some sometimes where I'm like Heath Ledger needed to be in Brokeback Mountain, and I'm
incredible
fine with that. Yeah. You know, and
but
and
okay. I know, so do you believe in like a two gay, like a that's a two straight rule? Like I kind of go one and
yeah.
one and one. It makes me feel like one is leading the way.
Yeah, you're right. And isn't there something coming out with Daniel Craig and like Timothy Chalamet, or Daniel Craig and someone and a hot straight actor? Anyway, I've lost it. But they're playing gay, and that's another one where I'm sort of okay. I for whatever reason Daniel Craig feels like gay
hot.
Enough.
Hot, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that'll do.
For sure, for sure. There's the new Andrew High movie coming out, I think, next year with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. Perfect.
Okay. Okay. I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's going to object to that.
No.
How could we?
No.
So now we're just, is it that we're looksists? Is that our problem?
Maybe a little bit.
But both those women are beautiful, Reese and Juliana.
That's true. Yes, that is definitely not a concern with, yeah, it is simply an issue of vibes.
Did it make sense for either of the characters? Is there a limit to what the casting
it did only done? In that, like, I think we were meant to, Julianne Margulies was sort of meant to be like an avatar of Rachel Maddow, just based on like career-wise, but just based on her like career credentials, but not her, you know, her aesthetic, not at all. Other than that, I think she wore leather jackets. Maybe that was their way of trying to code her as gay, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that would have really broken the internet, is like Rachel Maddow and Reese Witherspoon.
There you
I
go.
I really like that.
Yeah. I like that quite a bit.
But like Tig, why not put Tig in there?
Why not?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Tig was on this show talking about the movie that they're working on with Jennifer Aniston, where Tig was going to be the first lady, and Jennifer, and that's someone that, I mean, Jen can do no wrong. Very happy to see that coupling, although I'm getting a little worried that movie's never gonna happen. Too much time has passed.
I stopped hearing about it. What was like the seminal lesbian movie, TV show, whatever? Was there like a part or a movie where you felt like, ah, they've got this correct, or I see myself reflecting?
You know, the one that I went like, oh gosh, I like ladies, that one.
Sure.
I have to say that Flashdance was a real turning point for me, because she was like a sexy welder. So she wore all that cool, like the fashion was so, I don't know, it was so important, that fashion, ripped and sexy. But then she did this beautiful stuff, the dancing. So it was like she was very like butch femme, which wasn't a thing. I like a woman that isn't super femmy, but not super butchy. I'm not helped by these kinds of labels, I think. Mm. And the world doesn't need them anymore. The world doesn't work like that anymore, which is helpful for me.
How does the child of a cool person in Los Angeles act out? How do you be a teenager?
Well, I have two unique people that, you know, we raised, and I'm fortunate in that regard. I have my eldest is like a super duper computer nerd. And that is, I mean, it's very intense. I mean, it's like, no one will remember this show, that Michael J. Fox show. You know how, like, you know the show. What is the show?
Well, Family Ties?
Family Ties, yeah. Uh-huh. So, like, his parents were hippies, and so he was, like, a right-wing guy. Right. So in this regard, I am a very, very creative person, and he's very creative, but he's creative with computer coding and building, and just a different sort of creative than I am. And our youngest is a very, very funny TV kind of writer, hilarious jokester, very, very funny, more like us in that way. But Levi's a very intense computer man. Yeah.
Ali Adler. What an honor. Thank you so much for doing this.
I can't believe I must have been very far down the list, and I appreciate that someone must have fallen out. And
not at all.
Stop it.
I'm excited for the Alice Piazecki off. I'm really.
Yes. I can't wait. Please come back with her.
Yeah. We'll do it for charity. We'll figure out a charity element somehow. And we are going to keep you for just an extra moment to hear the uncensored 90210 anecdotes. But in the meantime, thank you, Ali Adler.
Thank you so much, Ali. And I just want to say to our listeners, if you live in Los Angeles on February 12th, Sunday, There's an event called the Galentine's Day Pickleball Tournament. I don't know if you're playing pickleball, Allie, but would love to have you attend. It's hosted by our friends, June Diane Raphael and Jessica St. Clair of The Deep Dive and Casey Wilson and Danielle Schneider of Bitch Sesh. I will be judging the fashions alongside your friend, Kulap Falisak. You can go to janeclub.com/pickleball to get tickets. It's going to be so much fun. And you can even get up there and dink around with ladies if you're so lucky. Homophilia is a World of Wonder podcast produced and engineered by the wonderful Renee Colvert. Our theme song is by the amazing Ben Wise. We want to thank the incredible Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter @homophiliapod and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts already. Thank you.